This afternoon, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Song of Solomon, chapter 7. If I have tried to teach you anything over the past 13 years, it has been that the Word of God is a book of great depth spiritually because of the word pictures that we find in it. And it truly is amazing to me just how many Christians don't see this necessarily. But I've tried to show you this. I've tried valiantly to show it to you, and I will continue to do so because there is such depth and meaning in the Word of God when we begin to understand what these word pictures mean. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a sermon about the prince's daughter's feet, that they are beautiful. So let's bow together for prayer before I begin with you. Father, thank you that you hear us when we cry, when we pray to you, when we beseech you that you would show us the truth, show us your word, and let us understand it. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your word. Enlighten, illumine our minds so that we can understand the truths and apply them to our lives. We thank you that you can, by the Holy Spirit, come and make new impressions on our hearts. And we pray that you would do so, that we might be more useful and fruitful to you as Christians. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 1. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter! The curves of your thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. Your navel is a rounded goblet. It lacks no blended beverage. Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower, your eyes like the pools in Heshbon. By the gate of Bath Rabim. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by your tresses. How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delights. This stature of yours is like a palm tree, and your breasts like its clusters. I said, I will go up to the palm tree and I will take hold of its branches. Let now your breasts be like clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples, and the roof of your mouth like the best wine. The wine goes down smoothly for my beloved, moving gently the lips of sleepers. I am my beloved's and his desire is towards me. Now it's amazing as we look at these verses that the bridegroom king gives so many intricate descriptions of his bride. It's because she is so very beautiful. From verses 1 to 9, we have 10 descriptions given to us of the beauty of her form and the clothes that she is wearing. But there is a difference between the way that he describes her here in these verses from the way that he described her in chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, and chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. He looks at her in this passage not from the head down, but rather from her feet up. And there is a reason for this. It is because as the believer grows up into spiritual maturity, Christ would have them to see that they have been called into fellowship with him in order that they might bear fruit to his name. This applies to all of us who would be Christ's faithful followers. If you are growing spiritually, you will now find yourself in a position to serve Christ and to promote his glory. The question is, will you do it? Will your love for him translate into deeds for him? This is the time for Christ to be able to admire your walking with him in truth and righteousness and showing it forth by good deeds. Here in this verse, we find Christ's description of his bride, beginning with his looking at her feet, and in turn, he expects that you as individual Christians will also look at your feet spiritually speaking. You're beginning to become more useful and fruitful to him, he knows, will not begin with his consideration or commendation of the beauty of your head. That is what you know, or how intelligent you are, but rather with his consideration of your spiritual beauty in regard to what you can do for him. And more specifically, in regard to your walk with him. You as a believer are part of the body of Christ. You are part of his spiritual bride. You are the ones whom he loves and has died for. Because of what he has done for you at the cross, and because of what he is doing for you now, by his imputed righteousness and his imparted grace, you are beautiful to him. But that beauty of grace is a beauty which he believes should lead you to righteous and holy actions. This is what these verses are talking about. And so we should see that we do need to learn together about the various kinds of beauty that Christ beholds when he looks at us, his bride, the church. He wants every believer to see that, spiritually speaking, his bride's feet are beautiful and useful to him. Therefore, let me give you a couple of principles of truth which may help you in your walk with Christ. First of all, greater usefulness and greater fruitfulness in Christ's service in the future is based upon your greater fellowship with him now. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O Prince's daughter. Here is the fellowship of spiritual companionship and communion with Christ. Will you not let him make observations on you and the beauty that he has clothed you with? This is a very common and practical thing between those who are betrothed. For the bridegroom to make observations on things which are small, but they are not unimportant. For he knows that they are soon to be married, and they will be doing many good things together. A comment like this on her shoes, he knew, would lead to her thinking of where she might go and what she might do in those shoes. And such it is in the life of a Christian also. Let me ask you if you have come to realize what you have been called to as a Christian. You have been called to a holy walk with Christ. He has saved you and he has called you with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he gave to you before time began. And his purpose, in terms of your usefulness and fruitfulness, will be communicated to you in relationship to the fellowship that you have with him now, not sometime in the future. If you turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, you will see this fellowship mentioned. The Apostle Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short and no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now you can see here that each and every Christian, and all of us together as his church, are called into the fellowship of our Lord. We have been enriched in everything by Him, and we have been brought into this heart relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And concerning the church at Corinth, the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them, in that they had been given all the spiritual gifts that they needed to glorify Christ, and they were eagerly awaiting the revelation of Christ to them. And Paul is saying that Christ would be faithful to confirm them to the end. That is, to the end of their lives, which would be a further revelation of Christ to their spirit, in their being made perfect in their spirit, and He would be faithful to confirm them to the end in terms of His glorifying their body, reuniting soul and body back together again in the day when He returned, which would be the ultimate revelation of Himself to them as believers. But what they were called to while they waited for these glorious things to take place in their lives was to have fellowship with their Lord while they lived, so that this fellowship would lead to their greater and more active obedience in serving Him and learning to walk more closely with Him. Let me put it to you this way. If you are understanding correctly as a Christian what you have been called to in your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, your Shepherd King, you should be increasingly coming to the place in your experience where you realize that He has called you into a spiritual love relationship with Him. And this love relationship will lead you to take further steps of obedience to Christ and to His Word as time goes by. If you love Me, Jesus says, keep My commandments. Now, you've been called by His grace being extended to you. You are now a part of the bride of Christ, who is described here as a prince's daughter. You are now a child of the King of Glory, and you are betrothed to Him. And someday you will be spiritually married to this King of Glory forever. He has loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness He has drawn you. Jeremiah 31:3. And verse 4 says, again He will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. Now, these things began for you, dear Christian, when you were called into fellowship, the fellowship of God's dear Son, who is your Lord. And you have been called to become a part of His mystical spiritual body, the church. And this spiritual fellowship that you are having with Him will grow because of His faithfulness to communicate to you His life and His grace and His wisdom in doing things. He's going to give you the opportunity and the ability to serve Him. And all of this will flow out of your fellowship with your Lord. Your cultivation of fellowship in the here and now will lead to greater fruitfulness as you go about your life with Christ and walk with Him. There is fellowship, the fellowship of learning to imitate God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If Christ has loved me and given Himself for me, then we should think to ourselves, then can I not offer up my body to Him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him? Will this not be my reasonable service of worship? that I be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. But then there is also the fellowship of walking in the light. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now that's what we're being called to. We're being called to fellowship with Christ, first of all. Let me ask you if you are cultivating this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, day by day, in connection with His Word, and having fellowship communion with Him by the Spirit. Now, second, the greater usefulness and fruitfulness will come to you in your witness for Christ if you will wear these sandals that are mentioned in this text. These sandals were the particular sandals which Christ was delighted to see His bride was wearing, for they are part of the garments of salvation which He has given her to wear. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. So the beauty of Christ's bride, the church, is something that she is clothed with by Christ Himself. And the sandals are no exception. I want you to turn with me over to Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8. This is speaking of the time when God showed love and mercy to Old Testament Israel when they first became a nation under God's care. And it is a picture of what God does in the conversion of individual undeserving sinners under the new covenant. He pities them and He saves them from their sins, and then He prepares them for His loving spiritual interaction with them and for their fruitfulness in His service. He says this in verse 8. He says, "When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with garments and put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck." Now you can see here the many garments of salvation that were placed upon her. But the one I want to focus on now is the sandals of badger skin. The sandals of badger skin here are the same metaphorical picture as the sandals which are mentioned in Song of Solomon 7 verse 1. And I believe that they are representative of the fact that God intends that the believer's walk be a holy walk, and so they will be serving Him in holiness. Verses 13 and 14 of Ezekiel 16 say this: "Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God." So you see, this was the intention and the plan of God in the Old Testament time, that His people's fame would go out among the nations because of Israel's beauty. For that beauty was perfect, it says here, through God's splendor, which was bestowed upon them. This is also the intention and plan of God in New Testament times, that the fame of Christ's bride, His church, would go out among the nations because of the beauty of holiness in Christ's people and their preaching the gospel to all the nations. Look with me over at Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 10, these familiar verses. Verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? And here it is. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. So the feet of the believer who preaches the gospel of peace, that is peace between God and men through faith in what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for them by means of his righteous life and sacrificial death, this is beautiful in God's sight. The sandals that the New Testament believer wears are the sandals of truth. And specifically, the truth of the gospel. We are to walk in these sandals of truth and to have our waist girded with truth, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now let me ask you, dear Christian, have you put on these sandals? Galatians 3:27 says this, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ," that is, spiritually baptized into Christ, "have put on Christ. You have clothed yourselves with Christ," it says in the NAS. Now, I would like to ask you whether you have your sandals on today. Are you prepared to share Christ with people around you? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you ready to think about what is pleasing to the Lord in this regard? How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O Prince's daughter. In Mark 6 and verse 7, we find Jesus sending out the 12 to preach repentance. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and to put on two tunics. In verse 12, it says, "So they went out and preached that people should repent." I'm told that sandals were different from shoes in that day. There was a distinction between the two. Sandals were more fit to travel in. The Christian is to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded. Dear Christian, are you ready to do this? And third, greater usefulness and fruitfulness will come to you when you learn to redeem the time. It says here in the last part of verse 1 of our text, "The curves of your thighs are like jewels." John Gill says this on that verse, "It seems best by these joints or turnings of the thighs, by which they move more orderly and regularly, to understand the principles of the walk and conversation," that is the behavior "of the saints, as one observes, without which it cannot be ordered aright. For principles denominate actions, good and bad, and the principles of grace by which believers move in their Christian walk are as valuable and as precious as jewels, such as faith and love and a regard to the glory of God, and which are curiously wrought by the finger of God, by His Holy Spirit who works in them, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Listen also to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a timely warning we have here, that we should walk circumspectly. That is, that we would not walk as fools, that we would be wise. Are you redeeming the time? Are you living to have fellowship with Christ? Are you learning to do those things that are pleasing to Him? Now let me close by saying this. Walking with Christ today will lead to further developments in what He would have you to do for Him in the future, to glorify Him. But you only have so much time that is given to you in this life. Young people, you may see your whole life stretched out ahead of you, and you may think that you have plenty of time. But believe me, you do not. Believe me when I say to you that you must prepare with all of your strength for everything that lies ahead if you would do spiritual things for God and for Christ. You must prepare with all of your strength. Do not think that you can waste whole years and not study the Bible or not study theology if you want to go into the ministry or any number of different things that you might want to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are young, you need to give yourself to study and also to labor to see what you can do for Christ, even in the context that you are now. And He would have you walk in the truth. And walk in love, and walk circumspectly, that is, carefully and thoughtfully. Think through the issues of your life on what it means to know the Lord. I pray that you would be, all of you would be looking forward to the greater revelation of Christ's glory. Do you think about that? What it's going to mean when we get older and then we die? Many, many generations, what, 1,000 or more generations have lived on the earth? Maybe more than that. And they've all died and passed off the scene. And will ours be any different? I think not. And so we must do what we can while we can. Increasingly, you should be thinking about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of your great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that glorious day when the marriage will be consummated, the spiritual marriage. You're betrothed to Him now, but we all will be married to Him publicly and openly in the day when He returns, spiritually speaking. And on that great day, Christ will complete your salvation and the salvation of all of His own who make up His bride. And someday, dear believer, you will be glorified by Christ, and you will be perfect. But does this mean that Christ does not see any beauty in you now, or in His church now, even though the day of His return has not arrived yet? No, we must not think that way. And these verses will not let us think that way, because here in chapter 7, verse 1, Christ's focus is upon your feet, dear believer. And I hope that you will understand that Christ even now is looking at how you walk. And He sees it as beautiful when you have on the sandals that He has given to you in truth, and that your walk is holy, and that it is righteous. Do not live for the world or the things of the world, for the world is passing away and the lusts thereof. But the one who does the will of God shall abide forever. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Let's pray together. We thank You, our Father, for giving us so many different spiritual, profoundly spiritual truths in the book of Song of Solomon. And even as Solomon was the wisest man of his day, and yet at certain points he did not live up to the grace that was given to him, Lord, we know that we are the same in terms of not living up to the grace that You have given to us. And yet, Lord, we want to be, as this text admonishes us, to be beautiful in Your sight by being clothed in these sandals of truth and walking uprightly before You, walking in holiness all our days with You. And so give us that precious grace that we need to live in that way which would be pleasing to You and to bear fruit for You in the days to come. We do pray and ask these things in Your own dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen.